This is Jean Marie Laskus with the podcast Cement City. So there's this election coming up, a big one, and one guy's been indicted. People are talking voter fraud. Democracy itself is on the line. Sound familiar? Well, this isn't that election. This one is in Denora, Pennsylvania, a dying town in the middle of nowhere, where I bought a house and stayed for 3 years. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, here we go. A beautiful Friday afternoon. Gotta love this weather. I mean, at least there's something to love in New Orleans. I know, you know, we just have this really tough relationship with the Saints. You love them. We love the Saints, but you got to be honest. It really sucks right now to be a Saints fan. I mean, this is really, really difficult. I was in the Dome last night along with many of you, and I know you were there. And those of you listening and watching, all right, hey, crank it up right now. Man, I'm just getting distracted talking about the Saints here this Friday afternoon. All right, we have a lot to talk about. And since we are so close to the election, we're going to talk about politics today. And, you know, some of the stuff is just really so bizarre and crazy that I keep reminding you that even for Free for All Friday, it's fitting that we talk about politics because some of the stuff is just so crazy that it's almost funny. I mean, you got to find a sense of humor in all of this because it just really is that bizarre. I mean, you know, you can get down and dirty with it and just get all specific and just all serious about every little thing that's said. Or you could just kick back and say, man, I can't believe this crap that's being said. I can't believe this stuff. So anyway, we'll get into all of that. I hope you don't mind, but we have a little bit of fact checking to do on the show. And it's kind of a warning for those of you who don't want facts. For those of you who don't care about facts, you know, it's so interesting that people care about facts when it comes to the other candidate, but they don't care about facts when it comes to their candidate. And I find that to be really interesting. All right, there's a lot going on this weekend. Parade, festivals, all kind of stuff. And the weather is going to be incredible. You know, we suffer so much during the year in this part of the country. That let's just embrace and enjoy this weather that we have right now because it is just awesome. So Sean Payton and the Broncos were booed when they came onto the field. And what I heard in the Dome compared to the way other teams are booed, I thought the boos were louder with Sean Payton coming into the Dome. And there were people who were, I was kind of low in the section. I was, I think, row six. So I was kind of low in the plaza area, and a lot of fans, I guess they felt like Sean Payton might be able to see them. Of course, he wasn't going to pay attention to that, but a lot of people were flipping off Sean Payton. And I know a lot of you think that that's not appropriate. You know, I go back to Sean Payton made a decision to leave football. Things had gotten really rough with the Saints. And I think he had lost five in a row or had lost a number of games, and things were really, really ugly. And Sean Payton bailed. He was still under contract, but he bailed. And then he was really using that as an excuse to look for a bigger market. And he did. And he's in Denver. But as you know, Sean Payton has not created magic in Denver. And I know that he gave us a Super Bowl. But look, you know, this is something else interesting to consider. And this it came up on the show yesterday. It was the enthusiasm of the city. It was the need of the people of New Orleans to have something to cling to that was positive after Hurricane Katrina. And the Saints provided that. The Saints provided that with a Super Bowl victory. But when was the other Super Bowl victory? There wasn't any. And even Sean Payton had, you know, back-to-back 7-9 seasons, even with Drew Brees. So things weren't all rosy during his entire time here. Now, he gave us a Super Bowl, but I don't think any city should be satisfied with one Super Bowl. I mean, it was almost like the city was collectively satisfied. Oh, we got our Super Bowl. Well, what about another one? You know, what about at least acting like you really care about getting another one? And I know the Saints will say that, you know, yeah, they do. They do try. They do want that. But, you know, sometimes teams reflect the city that they're in. And even though the players come from all over the country, and I've seen this happen in my business, I've seen people come from other parts of the country, and they come here and they become part of New Orleans, which in many ways is positive. But when you become part of the acceptance of mediocrity, the laissez-faire mentality of New Orleans, I don't think that's good. And I see the team reflecting the city of New Orleans. And there is an unspoken acceptance of mediocrity. I remember years ago when the Saints fans were putting bags on their heads. It was bad. And the Saints were losing miserably. And there was TGF Fridays was right next to, was on Veterans Highway, right next to Rouse's on Veterans Highway. Burlington is there in an office building there. And TGF Fridays was like the hot place to go. It was almost kind of like a meat market. And after Saints games, it was a big place to go. And I would see players, after just a totally embarrassing loss, I would see players show up there with their chest out like, I'm a Saints player. And I'm thinking, man, I would, after that performance, I would be embarrassed to be in public kind of asking for fan adoration. And yet they were there. Some of the players were there. And that's when it occurred to me, and this was, I guess, the 70s. It occurred to me then that just being a Saints player was good enough. It didn't matter if you won. Just being a Saints player was good enough. And you were adorned. You were loved. You were appreciated. You were revered as a Saints player. And, you know, again, if I would have been a player at that time, and I thought about this at the time, I wouldn't go out in public. I mean, the players go to dinner. They go to Morton's. They go to Roost Chris after. They're not flaunting their presence. But I remember a couple of players that would like flaunt their presence there with their chest sticking out proud, trying to meet chicks. And I just thought, this is just, I don't know, there's something wrong about this. And so I think the city itself loves the Saints to the point where maybe there is this subconscious idea that the Saints don't have to be great just because they're the Saints and we love them. And yes, we do love them. And we've got a great fan base. And Drew Brees talked about this last night when he was being inducted into the Saints Hall of Fame. And that was really, that halftime moment was a very, very touching moment at the game last night. Drew Brees and his family, and man, he's got a beautiful family and a bunch of kids, and they're really growing up. And, you know, He got a lot of applause. It was a great moment. And he said he loved the city, said just absolutely loved the city, loved the fans, said it was the best fan base ever. Gail Benson presented Drew Brees with his Saints Hall of Fame jacket. And Drew Brees just said, I love you to the entire dome last night. And said it was the greatest team, the greatest owner, and the greatest fans. And it was great. Oh, and then he led the dome in his famous pregame cheer that he would do with the team. He led the dome in that, and that was awesome. Steve Gleason was there as well. There's a moment where Sean Payton did go over and talk to Drew Brees. I guess this must have been before the game, but it wasn't during the halftime ceremony. And I think Sean Payton going there at halftime during that moment would not have been appropriate. But, you know, they certainly meant a lot to each other. And there were some great winning seasons. And you know, you look at the list of the playoffs and division titles, and all of that was really, really exciting. But overall, I feel like this team is just not inspired. And I don't like the perception that I get, and the Saints don't want me to say this. And I mean, I love the Saints, man. Guys, I was with the Saints before many of you who even work for the Saints were working for the Saints. A lot of people say they were there. I don't know if they were really there or not, but I can tell you I've never lied on this show. I was there in Tulane Stadium in 1967 when John Gilliam ran the first kickoff back for a touchdown. I was there. I was there for Dempsey's kick at Tulane Stadium against the Lions. I've been there through the years. I never put a bag on my head, and I never would. I wouldn't even today. But I've been there from the beginning, and fans have a right to talk about the team, any team, in any city. And I just don't like the body language and the demeanor of Dennis Allen after games. It just seems like there's too much complacency. And I would not be surprised if Dennis Allen was very intimidated going against Sean Payton last night. Now, that has nothing to do with the players on the field. That has nothing to do with the injuries. And we lose Adebo. The list goes on. And it's bad. Spencer Rattler, I think he's got a lot of promise. But, you know, there were times when he acted too much like a rookie. But then again, look at Bo Nix. Bo Nix may not have completed every pass, but that guy was confident, and he made decisions. And there was a big difference between those two rookie quarterbacks. And Spencer Rattler hesitated. And there was a time that he was running, and he kind of stopped and hesitated. If he would have kept going, it would have been a big play. But he hesitated and then started running and then got tackled. Bo Nix made quick decisions. And Bo Nix is, like, big and fast and... you know, he could turn out to be a really good quarterback. So, really, what else can you say about the Saints? Dennis Allen, again, made some comments last night, and it's the same thing, and it's the exact same tone. Here's how Dennis Allen started to explain the humiliating loss to the Denver Broncos last night.
You know, you look at this game there was nothing complimentary about the game. In particular, early on in the game, we weren't really able to get anything going offensively, defensively. You know, we allowed them to have too many long drives. And so, therefore, in the first half, I think the time of possession was out of whack. It kind of got a little bit more balanced up as the game went along. But I think that's been a challenge for us. I think we're not winning the line of scrimmage on either side of the ball. I think that's a challenge for us right now. We've got, obviously a few days here before we have to play again. We'll go out to LA next week, and we've got to find a way to put our guys in the best position to have some success, and we got to find a way to play better football. It's been disappointing. Obviously, injuries play a part of it, but we've got to find a way to play better.
Guess what? We've heard that before. In that exact same way, in that exact same tone. Dennis Allen also seemed to concede that planning and preparation and practice only get you so far when a third of your team is on injured reserve.
Look, it's hard when you lose five in a row, and then when you look at all the injuries on top of it, it makes it a lot more challenging. I think our guys are fighting, and yet the results aren't showing.
No, they're not showing. There are moments when the Saints look okay. Let's think about basic concentration. Let's think about basically doing your job as a Saints player. How did the honey bun, he used to be the honey badger, man. Sometimes when he's the honey bun, I'm going to call him the honey bun. He was the honey bun last night. How do you miss an interception that is thrown right to your numbers? It hit him in the chest. How do you not catch that ball? You're not concentrating. I mean, that had nothing to do with age. He couldn't even catch that. He couldn't hold the ball. It literally bounced right off number 32. And then I think it was Dwan Johnson, and I think this was for a first down. He dropped a pass. It was thrown right to him. How do you do that? You know, defensive backs don't get that many opportunities to have a ball thrown right to them. You can't miss those opportunities if you're a pro. If you're being paid millions of dollars to do what you do, you can't miss that. And Duane Johnson, you can't drop those passes. I mean, I know these people are human, but this is like just basically doing your job. It's not even anything extraordinary. And so the Saints are just basically not doing their job. So I don't know. It's discouraging. If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. You know what's coming. We'll dedicate this song to the entire New Orleans Saints football team. Hey, don't worry. We're going to talk about politics soon, and that's going to take our mind away from the loss last night. But if you have the energy, if you have the desire to say anything about the game last night or about the Saints, the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. I'm Scoot on the air. Beautiful free-for-all Friday, and we'll be back on WWL. There was an exodus last night at the Dome. With about 7 minutes left in the third quarter, I'd had enough. It's a school night, so getting home earlier was not a bad idea. I left the Dome 7 minutes left in the third quarter, and I was not alone. I just posted a video on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page. You could check it out right now. Just posted a video of what it was like leaving the Dome with 7 minutes left in the third quarter. We weren't even to the fourth quarter yet. 7 minutes left in the third quarter. Take a look at the number of people leaving. I was not alone. In fact, Alvin Kamara, after the game, said he'd never seen the Dome so empty in the fourth quarter as he did last night. And he said, you know what? The fans are frustrated. He said, I don't blame them. Anyway, you can check that out. It's on Scoot on the Air Facebook. I'd love for you to join me there, become part of that, and comment. You know, some of the stuff we comment on, some of the things we post are a little bit controversial for a lot of people. I don't think they are, but some people think they're controversial. So I would love for you to comment and also comment on the comments. That's when it gets to be kind of fun. All right, I'm Scoot on the Air. Glad you are with us. Let's go to Mark on the Causeway. Mark, you're on WWL. In fact, we found out that the Causeway has just reopened.
Yeah, Scoot, I'll tell you, I just got on the Causeway a couple of minutes ago. The sign over the bridge says rolling convoy, you know, no lane changes and all. But I'm going around 35 to 40 on the bridge right now. So I don't know if it's completely cleared, but they're letting people on the bridge.
Yeah, thank you for calling in with that, Mark. Yeah, we got word that the causeway was closed and it had been closed. Some people were on it for an hour, and I just got the word that it was closed. And just after we announced it, almost right after we announced it, we found out that the causeway was reopened. But if you're doing 35 or 40 on the causeway, yeah, that's a lot slower than people usually go on the causeway.
Oh, absolutely. So there's probably some residual backup, you know, from the original wreck, but. Anyway, I just wanted to alert everybody so they don't go through Slidell or I-55 out of their
Mark,
way.
Thank you for that. And look, you know, you're out there over the lake. It is a beautiful day. You know, whenever I drive, I look for reasons to drive the causeway. I look for reasons to go across the lake because I love the drive. Just enjoy your drive over there. Look at this beautiful day. You're over the water. It's the longest bridge in the world over water. And, you know, it's really quite an attraction.
No, it's beautiful out here right now. Not hardly any clouds in the sky at all. Yeah. Okay, well, take care. I just wanted to make sure everybody knew about it.
Thanks, Mark. Have a great weekend. All right, it's Free for All Friday. If you want to join us with a comment about the game or anything, the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. Let's go to Ian with some of your early text messages.
Ooh, people got big feelings about all kinds of different things. We'll start here. Hey, can you remind people to early vote? We're trying to break a record today for opening day. Thank you.
Yeah, they did in Georgia. Georgia set a record for opening day voting. Now, do you think is it mostly people voting for Trump, or is it mostly people voting for Kamala Harris? Well, you know, we don't know. And I don't know if we'll ever know. I mean, at some point, I guess we might know what tolls were. But this is the first day of early voting in Louisiana. So get out and vote. Vote early and vote often.
Yeah, we don't know whose candidates are the ones going to the polls, but it's pretty easy to tell which candidate has been telling their voters not to early vote, not to mail absentee, to do any of that stuff. And now...
And Republicans,
we'll see if it's working for them.
Republicans have been telling Trump, "Hey, Donald,
shut up, dude!
Man.
You're
stop
killing us,
doing
man.
That." I mean, we got to get people out early voting, and I think he's kind of been ambiguous about this, but he's kind of trying to change his tune on the early voting. But yeah, Donald Trump's been telling people don't vote early, vote on election day. Well, I mean, it's up to you, but early voting starts today.
Here's a text that says, "Free for all Friday." A Saints football or B, politics. As much as I hate to hear anything about either, I'll take politics and hope for something to make me laugh. I love listening to you guys.
Hey, man, thank you very much. Because, yeah, we've got some politics to get to. But it qualifies for Free for All Friday because some of this stuff is so bizarre that you just got to laugh at it. I mean, you have to.
You mentioned back there in the sort of opening rant that you delivered that, you know, we only have one Super Bowl and we should have more. Here's a text message that says, "Sean Payton actually brought us to two Super Bowls, but the refs stole one from us."
Well, we didn't actually get to the Super Bowl, but yes, I was there. In fact, I was on the first row in the dome in that section that was right in front of where that happened. I was right there. I saw it. And all of you saw it. And all of you saw it in reruns. So we might have gotten to the Super Bowl had it not been for the refs. So, you know, that's a good point. But my overall point is that as a city, we should just demand excellence on a continuous basis out of everybody, from the mayor to the Saints to just all of us in our individual jobs. And that's not something that we really push in this city.
One more crack about our one Super Bowl win. Here's a text that says, "Hey, one is better than none. Look at Atlanta."
Well, okay. I mean, I agree with that. But again, here's the justification for just winning one, you know, or you know, not even being close. Well, except for that one time. We haven't really even been close to getting to the Super Bowl since then. And again, that other time. But you know, I was happy with that Super Bowl win. It was just a great, great thing for New Orleans. But the city helped provide the catalyst for the Saints to have this collective mentality of we need to win a Super Bowl for this city. Well, why can't that mentality be reinstilled in the city, even though we haven't just gone through a hurricane?
About Sean Payton's legacy, here's one that says, "Sean Payton is considered such a quarterback whisperer, but he's never developed a quarterback. In his tenure here, only one game was started by a Saints draft pick, and that was Ian Hoke." Oops, Ian Book, during that COVID game, and only because he was the only healthy quarterback.
Interesting. And it's going to be interesting to see what he does with Bo Nix. You know, he was in that class with Jaden Daniels, and I saw promising things. I know he missed a lot of passes, but man, that guy can get himself out of trouble because we got close to him a number of times, and you know, he got away most of the time.
And I'll leave you with this one. "Sean Payton left this cupboard bare. Acceptance of failure is the norm in this city at all levels. It's sad, really. Hence our population decline. Down 19,000 people in the last 3 years. Are the smart ones leaving? Dunno."
Well, you know, when I talk about this, I kind of feel like a lone wolf when it comes to this because, you know, not many people talk about this. And it's true. And I'm not trying to beat up the city. I love this city so much that I want this city to be better. And we can be better. We just have to get out of this laissez-faire mentality. And it's not going to be easy. And this has been instilled in this city for generations. And as I have said, I have seen people come here to do business and they come from other areas of the country and they come here and they become part of it. They don't try to change it. They become part of it. And there are some things that we should admit are not perfect about this city. And we should say, hey, we love the city, but why can't we talk about it being better and still love the city? All right, if you have a comment, the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504- 260-1870. Crua Boo is Saturday, and a lot of Halloween activities going on this weekend around the city. All right, it's a free-for-all Friday, and if you want to join us with your comment, we can talk about just about anything you want to talk about. The Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. I'm Scoot, and we will be back on WWL. Well, some people have just boarded the crazy train when it comes to this political season. You don't mind if a little bit later we do some fact-checking? I mean, he did it again. Donald Trump told just a crazy lie that was instantly fact-checked, and it's not true. And it's a big lie. It's a big lie because it talks about his policies. He's lying about his policies and his impact on American business. And I want to share this with you. I'm not going to change your mind. If you're voting for Trump, you're going to vote for Trump. That's okay. But I just think it's important that we know the truth. And that's what we do on this show from 1 to 4 in the afternoon. I'm Scoot on the air. It is a free-for-all Friday. Let's go to the North Shore. And Bob, you're on WWL.
Bob, Scoot, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I'm not trying to educate you, but I'm trying to convince your listeners. I'm going to give you a quote from Confucius. Confucius said, "What is necessary is to rectify names. If names be not correct, language is not in accord with the truth of things." If language...
That was the Confucius gong.
What's that?
That was the Confucius gong.
Sorry, I couldn't help myself.
You did good, Ian. All right, go ahead, Bob.
Okay. If language is not in accord with the truth of things, affairs cannot be carried on to success. I deign to remind everybody that Trump is a convicted felon criminal. That language is in accord with the truth of things. As you know, I'm a retired military, an Army officer, 21 years of service, and when he defamed, denigrated people that I knew, that I served with, that I served for, and some who I even commanded, and said they were suckers and losers, that scratched his name out of my favorite people book.
Bob, I understand. Thank you for the Confucius quote, and thank you for your service to our country. I wonder what the spin is from MAGAites on Trump calling veterans suckers and losers. Everybody seems to have a spin on it. Like, no, this is what he really meant. J.D. Vance is big with that. No, this is what he really meant. I mean, what did he really mean? He called veterans who fought in wars suckers and losers. That's something that Kamala Harris brought up on the Fox interview the other day with Bret Baier. And a lot of Fox viewers, since they only watch Fox, they don't know that because Fox doesn't mention that. But it's true. He called them suckers and losers. So what's the spin on that? All right, let's go to Gentilly. And Chili Gentilly joins us from Gentilly. Hello, Chili.
How's it going?
Good.
Yeah, I wanted to call about the Saints. I think I called you once before. I had called about them hiring Dennis Allen. The problem I see with the Saints now, and this is going to be radical, so hang on. I think Gail Benson, the best interest would be to sell the football team. And the reason why I say that is because there's really no one else that can give her good advice other than the people she already has. And it's obvious that in the last 3-4 years, the advice she's been getting is just not the right advice. I think they really need to clean house. Why they hired a losing coach is beyond me. You know, I can understand, but this guy already has a track record, and it's a losing track record. And as far as Mickey Loomis is concerned, that's got to be the bug in Gail Benson's ear. Now, who supervises him? I don't think anybody. He's the general manager of this ball club. And as such, you know, he has to take the blame, too. I just hate seeing this football team the way it is.
Well, I know, because it seems like there's answers to the problems. I don't think Gail Benson needs to sell the Saints. I think she and I'm not one to, you know, give her advice. She's in the situation she's in, well, because she was married to Tom Benson. But, you know, Gail Benson's in a very powerful position. And, you know, the smartest people I know understand what they don't know. And they hire people around them who can give them the best advice. Now, Mickey Loomis was part of the Saints Super Bowl. He's been part of Saints winning seasons.
Sure.
I mean, Mickey Loomis has done a lot. But there comes a time in the lives of a lot of people when, you know, things change. And I would like to think that Mickey Loomis is still up for the job, or that he finds a way to refresh himself. And, yeah, I mean, look, I talked about this last year, and a lot of people didn't want to hear it. But I still have questions about Dennis Allen as head coach of the Saints, and I'm not the one who makes the decision.
There's no doubt, and you know, I just feel like the problem I say is, you know, the bug in Gail Benson's ear is basically Mickey Loomis, and those decisions haven't been correct. And you know, why hire a losing coach? My other comment is on politics, and I'm a Democrat, I'm a liberal. I will say this. I don't believe this election is going to be as close as people say it is. I think when people get into that polling booth, get into the voting booth, I think I trust them to make the right decision. And this is the greatest con man in history. There's no doubt about it. Wall Street is based on Donald Trump. Yeah. And go back to Wall Street, the movie, and take a look at it. It was all about greed and power.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what Donald Trump is all about. If people, I can't understand people voting for him. I just don't think that this, I'm praying that this election is not going to be as close as people think it is. I think it's going to be an election.
I appreciate the call. I will not be surprised if it is not as close as the polls are indicating right now, because I think for whatever reason, I don't know that people are being totally honest with the pollsters. And when it comes to that moment of voting, I think people are going to make decisions that might not be reflected in the polls. I don't think Gail Benson should sell the Saints. She is she's a wonderful woman. She is a strong businesswoman. And, you know, I think Dennis Allen's hire was all about business. You know, the Saints just need to do enough to get, and Bobby Hebert said this, they just need to do enough to get people in the seats. That's what they care about. But when people start leaving the game with 7 minutes left in the third quarter, and I posted a video last night, that's when I left, and I was not alone. Take a look at the video. It's on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page. And when people start leaving that early in a game, that is a statement about how the fan base is really becoming disenchanted. I'm Scoot. Be right back on On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, on this day in 2008, R&B soul singer Dee Dee Warwick passed away after a long struggle with poor health. She was only 63 years old, best known for this 60s hit, I'm Gonna Make You Love Me. Diana Ross and the Supremes did a cover of this. That might be an interesting text off one day. All right, I'm Scoot. We've got a lot of calls on hold. If you're on hold, just be patient. We'll get through the news, and we will get to your calls as soon as we come back. Also, the Bayou Barbie, Angel Reese, WNBA, says her salary doesn't cover her rent. She's complaining about her salary. We'll add that to the conversation next hour. I'm Scoot, Free for All Friday on WWL.
This is Jean Marie Laskus with the podcast Cement City. So there's this election coming up, a big one. And one guy's been indicted. People are talking voter fraud. Democracy itself is on the line. Sound familiar? Well, this isn't that election. This one is in Denora, Pennsylvania, a dying town in the middle of nowhere, where I bought a house and stayed for 3 years. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You will need a jacket heading out tonight. It's going to be chilly. It is just really a great, great afternoon. And, you know, for those of you who get a chance to be on the Twin Span or the Causeway, if you're just over the water, just take a moment and just relax and just take a look at what a spectacular day it is. I'm Scoot on the Air. It is Free for All Friday. We're going to get to politics a little bit. We've got a lot of calls to get to, so let's start getting to some of those calls right now. Also, this hour, let's talk about Angel Reese, the Bayou Barbie. She says that her salary doesn't cover her rent. So, really, you're a WNBA player. She's got all these endorsements. Her salary doesn't cover her rent. Maybe she should move to another place. I don't know. Anyway, we're going to talk about that. I know that when rookies start out in sports, they start off with a rookie contract generally, and they don't make as much as they're going to make the next year or, you know, whenever. But they do start off with a rookie contract. So we'll talk a little bit about that. And also, you know, Donald Trump, once again, has just told the most incredible lie. And what's so crazy about this lie is that it is instantly and it is immediately fact-checked as being not true. And yet he must think, honestly, he must think that his voters and that the people who are, you know, not decided, undecided, I mean, I don't think there's too many of them, but there are some. It seems like his impression of them is that they're totally stupid and that they will just believe anything. So we'll talk about that this afternoon, because, again, I vote for Trump, vote for whoever you want to vote for, but you need to know the truth, and you will find out the truth on our show this afternoon. If you do want to join us with a comment, the Okunard Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. All right, let's go to Metairie, and Matt, you're on WWL. Thanks for hanging on, Matt.
Hey, thanks for having me, Scoop.
Sure.
I just wanted to go off of what you were saying about last night's game. I mean,
yeah.
In my life, I try to, like, prepare ahead of time, you know, and there's times in your life when you're dealing with certain things, and there's warning signs there, you know, tell you how to adapt or adjust or change so that you don't fall into the same repetitive thing that you did before. But growing up, you know, Saints were horrible. I mean, I loved them as a kid, but I mean, they were horrible. You had from Mora to Ditka, you know, to Sean Payton. I thought I'd never see a Super Bowl in New Orleans. But the one thing I started thinking of when we did the year we got to the Super Bowl was, this is great, and I'm glad that they made it. The city deserves it. You know, it's been a long time coming, and horrible that my grandfather couldn't have seen it. He passed like 3 days. I mean, not 3 days, but 3 years before that. And I wish he could have seen it because, I mean, that was one of his favorite teams. That and Chicago. I used to watch, you know, growing up, Chicago Cubs. And but one thing I started to think was, okay, we're at the Super Bowl. Let's win it. Let's not be the team that just gets there. Let's win it. Okay, now we want it. How do we sustain this? Drew Brees, you know, later on, you know, decline or whatever, and, you know, did an amazing job for this franchise. But you have to plan for the future. And there was numerous times where I saw that they just never addressed it, never addressed it, never addressed it. And then now you're starting to see it with the coach. You know, like, his record is 26-51. They have drafted horribly to where you're drafting guys who don't ever see it. I mean, look, Kendra Miller finally surfaced last night. And, you know, it's these horrible choices and kicking this can down the road mentality. At some point, you have to start taking accountability. And I don't want to bag on Mickey Loomis, but I kind of have to. When you start saying stuff like, we don't want to look at the results, we got to look past that. Okay, let's do that. Because you know what? There's nobody to look at other than you, Mickey. Because when you look past the results, that means no coach, no players. That means you. So it resides squarely on your shoulders. And for one of the most passionate fan bases, they do not deserve this. They do not. For all the blood, sweat, and tears, the dedication we've had to this team, the dedication they've had to this city, and to sit there and basically say no, basically sit up in your ivory tower and say no, you know, yeah, that's fine. Y'all may be pissed off, but we know better. Don't pee on my head and tell me it's raining. I'm sorry.
Well, Matt, you know, look, Mickey Loomis has been very, very successful here. Somebody mentioned last hour, you know, maybe this thing should be sold. I don't think that is the case at all. But there are things that can be done that I don't think are being done. And, you know, one thing that really should scare the hell out of Gail Benson and Mickey Loomis is what I saw last night, and I just posted it on my Facebook page before going on the air. And that is, I left the third quarter, 7 minutes left in the third quarter last night. Take a look at the number of people who were leaving. And I got on the interstate heading back to West End, and traffic wasn't backed up, but the interstate was filled with traffic, much more traffic than should be there at that time of night. And it's because so many people were leaving the game. When the fan base starts to lose faith, when the fan base starts to leave, that's when the owner and management, they really need to pay attention to that. And the fan base is there right now. And I don't know that the fan base has ever been here before. So it's, you know, it's tough. Mark, I understand your frustration. And yeah, we're talking about the game as much as you want to talk about it. But, you know, I consider myself to be a diehard Saints fan, but I'm honest with my feelings as a fan. And part of what teams have to deal with is praise or criticism from the fans. All these people are rich. All of these people have money. They're set for life. And I think about the people who are struggling. They give up things to buy season tickets. They give up things to buy tickets to a game. They give up things to buy concessions, making everybody else rich. These are the people that are really starting to voice their opinions. And, you know, I think there are still a lot of positive things going on with the Saints. They're just such a great integral part of the city that, you know, they need to be part of the city, but I just think more needs to be done to give us the impression that they really are dedicated to winning and planning for the future. Brian Huber is here from Deutsches Haus. It is the time of year when Oktoberfest is taking place. Brian, love talking to you every time this year. Welcome to the show.
Thanks. I appreciate it, Scoot. Sorry if I was a little bit late.
That's okay.
I was tied up outside with a band.
All right. You got any beer over there?
You know, let's see. I got one sitting in front of me right now.
Here. All right. So listen, tell everybody what's going on during Oktoberfest at Deutsches Haus, which is really like, you know, I love things that are authentic. And Deutsches Haus brings German authenticity to New Orleans.
And I appreciate that recognition because, you know, we don't buy German food from somebody from some restaurant and serve it. We prepare it in-house with our own volunteers. So I've got volunteers in the back that last Wednesday night were pounding away at, 1,500, 2,000 schnitzels to get those ready for the weekend. So schnitzel plate is by far our biggest seller. We sell that with a choice of red cabbage or sauerkraut, German potato salad, or a cucumber salad. We also have plenty of Wurst. Yesterday I built a wall of Wurst as we were storing all our Weisswurst, our Knackwurst, and our Bratwurst. we've got plenty of food here. We've got Flammkuchen, which is the German pizza. We've got pretzels. We do have pretzels this weekend. We have a little hiccup last weekend, but we have plenty of pretzels here ready to make. And then the other thing is that we've got two different bands playing tonight that weren't here last weekend. One is called Burst Case Scenario. They'll be leading us off this evening. And they're actually a trad jazz band from New Orleans that transitions during October to play Oktoberfest-style music. So they'll be real nice. Entertaining. And then we've got a three-generation, 10-piece German band that's in from Ohio. And the real exciting part about them is they've actually got a steel drum incorporated into their music. So we're looking forward to them. I've seen their videos, and I've got testimony from some people I respect that they're a real entertaining band. So we're looking forward to that as well.
Brian, we've also got the Steinway. I'm sorry, keep going.
Yeah, I got a whole bunch of stuff. We've got the 610 Stompers will be here tonight around 6 o'clock. We're going to be doing the chicken dance with the Stompers like we did last year. And, you know, they'll get out in the crowd and get everybody involved. And then tomorrow we have the Schnauzer Strut, which is a dog costume parade where every dog is a Schnauzer.
And the entrance fee to that that parade goes to Schnauzer Rescue.
That's awesome and a cute idea. And you know, I don't know if there's any group of men who are better equipped to do the chicken dance than the 610 Stompers.
You know, I tell you what, they've almost perfected it, you know, but they've got a few women in dirndls that are showing them the right way to do it.
Well, now, the whole thing with the 610 Stompers is, if it's perfect, it's not the 610 Stompers.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, Brian, listen, a lot of people hear about Deutsches Haus, but explain exactly where you are and just generally how to get there, because, you know, this is a real gem in New Orleans, because, you know, New Orleans is made up of so many different cultures, and Deutsches Haus really does maintain this German culture and presence in New Orleans.
We are at 1700 Moss Street, which is right across the street from New Orleans Museum of Art. We're open 6 days a week, year-round, and we're open to the public. We do have 2,000 members, but you don't have to be a member to come in. We'll serve German beer and German food throughout the year. In fact, we generally have a decent plate lunch that's got, you know, a schnitzel plate or a wurst plate with the sides that you'll see during Oktoberfest. So you can literally eat Oktoberfest food year-round here at the Deutsches Haus.
All right, do you have any Jägermeister?
We have a little, not my favorite. But
it's nobody's favorite, but they like to drink it.
They do, but we've also got a lot of schnapps here. Which is, you know, if you're coming over for something like that, I'd recommend the schnapps before I'd recommend the Jäger.
Yeah.
Not that I don't like Jäger, but I recommend the schnapps first. Jäger is a digestif, which is, you know, if you've had a little bit too much, it kind of settles the stomach. So wait to drink that till the end.
Well, you know, if you've had a little bit too much, I'm not sure Jägermeister is the best thing to do, but it might settle your stomach. The schnapps goes down just so smoothly on a cool afternoon.
It certainly does. And we have Radlers, too, which is basically a mixture of beer and juice, really.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Yeah. That's interesting.
Those are pretty common.
I'm so happy to talk about Deutsches Haus and to make people aware of Oktoberfest going on. Do you want to give us the hours for Oktoberfest?
So we open this evening at 4 o'clock and we go till 11, and then tomorrow we'll open at 1 and go to 11. We are not open on Sunday, and then next week we'll be having it again. That'll be our final weekend, and we'll be opening again Friday at 4 and Monday at Deutsches Haus,
Oktoberfest going on right now. 1700 Moss Street, right across from the Museum of Art, so you can figure out where that is, right there close to the bayou. Food and music and authentic German culture for eating and drinking, and it's all there. Six to eleven today?
No, 4 to 11.
Four to eleven today, and then 11 tomorrow?
Oh, that's correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Brian, thanks for being with us.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Yeah, you too. Okay, Oktoberfest is going on. Hey, listen, when we come back from the break, I'm not going to do any talking. I'm going to get right to your calls, but we do have a lot to cover this afternoon. Some fact-checking on the show, and then I want to talk about Angel Reese saying that her salary doesn't cover her rent. I love her, but I don't feel sorry for her. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back on WWL. It's the Halloween season. Crew of Boo is this weekend. There's also trick-or-treating going on tomorrow night at Lafayette Park in Metairie. We'll tell you about that in just a few minutes. I'm Scoot on the air. It is a beautiful free-for-all Friday. If you're on hold, I promise we're going to get to your calls, but Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser has called into the show. Lieutenant Governor, welcome to our show.
How you doing, my friend?
I'm good. Look, I love talking about the singing Trump coming to town. I've seen video of this guy. He's hysterical. And really, this is I don't think this is making fun of Trump. It's just making America laugh again. I think it's funny. And even Trump supporters can find humor in this.
Absolutely. I got Democrat, independent, Republican friends coming out. It's a chance for us to all come together as Louisianans, have a good time, have a little laugh. We'll surely need it the week before the election with all the tension in the air. It'll be a chance to have a great time and just see a lot of good friends.
All right, the Singing Trump is at the Jefferson Performing Arts Center Wednesday night, October 30th, and it's a fundraiser for Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser. You go to the website, BillyNungesser.com, for tickets, BillyNungesser.com, and if you use the promo code OctoberSurprise, you get 50% off tickets, and that goes on for a few more days.
Yeah, it goes on through the weekend, and, you know, we have complimentary wine and champagne and soft drinks. So you'll even get some drinks with the ticket, complimentary. It'll be a great night of laughter and just a chance to bring everybody together, something that's surely needed. We need to get out and laugh a little more.
All right, Billy, what gave you the idea to bring the Singing Trump to New Orleans for your fundraiser?
I saw him walk out on the stage at America's Got Talent, and they immediately X'd him and started booing him. And he said, I come with love. And he said, give me a chance. And Howard said, you better be good or this crowd is going to build a wall around you and they're going to make you pay for it. At the end of the show, everybody was standing cheering and they apologized for X'ing him out. So the perception going in was he was there to support Trump and he was there for a little laughter. So it brought everybody together. And I said, that's what we need a little bit more of in Louisiana.
I agree. All right. So how are ticket sales going?
Hey, going great. Thanks to you being on the air. Look, you got me wanting to go buy perfume on the West Bank every time I hear you. So you're a great promoter, and thank you very much. It's going to be a great night. I look forward to seeing you and everyone else. Newell's going to come out. It'll be a good chance for us all to laugh together.
I agree. Make America laugh again. All right, Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser, the website is BillyNungesser.com. It's the Singing Trump on stage. It's going to be a night of making America laugh again. Wednesday night, October 30th, Jefferson Performing Arts Center. Lieutenant Governor, I will see you that night. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you, my friend. Take care.
All right, let's get to some of your calls. Let's go to Metairie. Daniel, thank you for hanging on. Welcome to the show.
Hey, good afternoon. How are you?
Good.
So, who was the last conservative president that you could think of?
The last conservative president? I mean, I think George W. Bush was conservative. I remember that he
senior, right?
George W. Bush. That was the first one was H. Walker Bush. But I think George W. Bush was. I mean, he billed himself during the campaign as a compassionate conservative, which was his way of saying he's a moderate conservative.
Sure. Both Bushes were conservative. Reagan was conservative. Trump is portraying himself as conservative. And we all know that is not true.
No, I don't. I have a hard time believing that Trump is a true conservative.
Right. So he's basically telling people a lie that you're a conservative when you're actually, you know, I hate to say it, but a clown.
Yeah, you know? I mean, he doesn't, you know, listen, I was a proud member of the Republican Party for a long time. I was registered Republican for many, many, many years. And I changed because the party started to change and Donald Trump came along at a time and he became a catalyst for those people who wanted to be radical within the Republican Party. But the Republican Party is not, should not be representative by Donald Trump because true conservative ideology is constantly defied by Donald Trump.
Yeah, that's true. It's true.
In fact, I've heard now that Donald Trump is he's trying to find out from, you know, wildlife and fisheries organizations around the country. He's trying to find out about how to legal hunt rhinos in America. And you know, it's interesting because the rhinos are like mainstream America and the rhinos are the mainstream Republicans, and man, they've just lost big time in a lot of ways.
Right. Yep.
All right, Daniel, I appreciate the call. Have a good weekend. Let's go to Tangibahoa. Frankie, you're on WWE. Good afternoon.
Really trying to make politics do the duty. Really encourage your generation to do this because I'm getting old.
Frankie?
Hey, Frankie, this is
Scoot. You're on WWL.
Hey, Scoot, it's Frankie, man. Number two, Frankie. On the ballot, just trying to encourage people, if you had enough of the political mess, you can send a message to them all. Tell them no more party for Congress. Vote no party number two Frankie hires.
Okay. I guess that's a kind of
that's
a campaign
speech. That's about the gist of it, man. We can make politics a civic duty.
I'm sorry. Tell me that last thing again.
Frankie hires.
Well, I mean,
the only no-party candidate on any Louisiana ballot trying to make politics a civic duty.
Yeah. Well, politics is a civic duty, Frankie. It's a civic duty. Not everybody takes it as such. Mayor Cantrell has not lived up to her civic duty of being a leader of people, in my opinion. And, you know, it's really not about the person. It's about serving the people. Let's go to Metairie. Paul, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Scoot?
Hey, Paul.
Scoot? Hey, buddy.
Yes. Hey.
Listen, I got a couple of comments. And anyways, most important one, I have a great idea. I don't know if you guys seen maybe somebody who's close to Ms. Benson. I think she had an article in the paper about a year ago about hopefully she lives for another 40 years. But when she passes, she wants the team sold to someone that's going to keep it in Louisiana, in New Orleans, and the money be donated to charity. Well, I would like for her to sell it to Drew Brees, owner financing, and let him run the team, because that's the type of person I want to own the team, someone that hates to lose. And he's got such close ties to the team and Miss Benson. Maybe there's something legally they can work out. If not, maybe she could make him a trustee of her estate. And, you know, a trustee kind of manages the assets as they go out to I'm not an attorney. But maybe they can do that in slow motion, and he can be a trustee for 40 years. And then he, you know, kind of turn around and do what she originally wanted to do. What do you think about that idea?
I think it's look, for Drew Brees to somehow be involved in running the Saints is a very attractive idea. But Mickey Loomis is in charge of the Saints for the most part, I guess you can say. And if that's a long-range plan down the road, what do we do in the meantime? There are people who are, just more interested in seeing the Saints turn things around now.
No, she can sell the team to him now, owner finance.
Yeah.
If there's
really
a way to legally
idea.
Do that. Now, the next...
Go ahead.
Yeah, maybe you can just toss it out there to somebody that's maybe close to her, because I'll never get that close to her unless I go to one of these galas.
Well, look,
but
Saints listen to this show, Paul, so they've heard this
right.
Now.
Well, hopefully they hear this great idea and people get behind it. The other thing is, I think I kind of turned my daughter into the same type of Saints fan I've been my whole life, because she's hearing me screaming on the TV and yelling for them and all that. So anyway, she's gone to every game. She went last year. She's even went to Atlanta this year. So she's a big Saints fan. But I had to kind of, break her heart a little bit and let her realize that, baby, it's basically just for entertainment.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys, there's only one Super Bowl winner each year, 32 teams, or however many they got, I said. But these guys are happy when they make it in the NFL, and they're happy every week they cash their check.
Yep.
So they're already winners, you know. The way I explain to people, it's like going to see a Broadway play. They put on a show for us. You'd like to think it's more than that. And I hate to say it, but now since the gambling's involved with the NFL, it goes to show you, it's about the money.
But, Paul, let me bring up this idea. You talk about a Broadway show.
Sure.
A Broadway show continues until the end. Sometimes you get the feeling the Saints aren't really continuing to the end. And what I like
right.
the idea
some
that
of
it's
them you go and it sucks.
Yeah, I like the idea that it's entertaining, but it's entertaining because we're sitting there as fans with at least the idea that the Saints are going to win. And too often recently, you sit there as a fan, whether you're watching, listening to it on WWL, or you're there in the dome, you get the feeling that the Saints aren't in it to win. How does anybody explain Tyrann Mathieu dropping that interception? Or Jawan Johnson dropping a ball thrown right to him? How does that get explained?
Right, and they got bit by the injury bug real bad again this year. I think they need to stop drafting defensive linemen because they haven't had luck with the injuries with them guys. Try to go after some great linebackers because once they pass that defensive line, you're going to need somebody to tackle the runners who have been running all over us. Yeah. So maybe, you know, give up on the using your number one, number two picks for defensive linemen, and let's go after some linebackers.
Paul, I appreciate the call. I've got to get you a break here. I know it's cathartic to talk about the Saints, but an interesting idea, Paul, and I'm glad you did call in. If you want to join us, the Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. All right, the Saints loss, that really sucks, but, you know, we're in New Orleans. This is still a great, great city. And do what you can to enjoy this great, great weather in the city of New Orleans. If you want to join us on Free for All Friday, the Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. I'm Scoot on the air. We'll be right back on WWL.
This is Jean Marie Laskus with the podcast Cement City. So there's this election coming up, a big one, and one guy's been indicted. People are talking voter fraud. Democracy itself is on the line. Sound familiar? Well, this isn't that election. This one is in Denora, Pennsylvania, a dying town in the middle of nowhere, where I bought a house and stayed for 3 years. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Scoot on WWL and always live on the free Odyssey app. Connect now on the Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line, 504-260-1870.
Good on the Air Rock Culture Calendar. On this day in 1947, he was 21 years old. Chuck Berry got out of jail. He served 3 years for armed robbery. He went to go back to hanging bumpers on cars. He worked in an automotive factory, worked as a janitor in an apartment building, and then as a beautician. And then he recorded Maybelline for Chess Records in 1955, and the rest is rock and roll history. He was one of the original rock and rollers. And all that happened on this day in 1947. I'm Scoot on the Air. Glad you're with us. Before I get back to your calls, we have to talk to Larry Rowlings with the organization Kelly Kicking Cancer. It's a great event every year in the Mandeville-Covington area. A young woman years ago, her name was Kelly, beautiful young woman. She just suddenly died of cancer. And in her memory, this gala raises money for the cancer, the cause of trying to heal people who have cancer, trying to prevent cancer. And Larry joins us on WWL. Larry, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon. I want to start by saying I listened to your Saints football commentary, and you were right on target. I was there last night, you know, as a sign man. And I'll tell you what a depressing place last night in that third quarter to fourth quarter. It was terrible.
It was, yeah. And
you were on target. I wanted to let you know that.
Thank you very much, Larry. And I posted on my Facebook page what it looked like to leave with 7 minutes left in the third quarter. And anybody can check that out by going to Scoot on the Air Facebook. Larry, when is the Kelly Kicking Cancer Gala? And by the way, I've been to this every year for several years now. It's a wonderful event. It's really quite a gala. When I say it's a gala, it is a gala. The food, the beverages are incredible. When is it this year?
And a Top Cats, too, is entertainment.
That's awesome.
So that's a good thing. But look, it's going to be November 16th at the Covington Country Club right there in Covington. And those tickets are $125 each or a table of eight for $1,000. And as you know, you're one of our judges of who's got talent. And the gala is basically like America's Got Talent. We have celebrity judges, including yourself and Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser. And we have Leslie Castay. I don't know if you know her, but she's actually a movie star. And then she's been on Broadway. Also, she's a NOCA instructor. She's going to be one of our judges this year. But again, America's Got Talent, Who's Got Talent is North Shore born. So this is our fourth gala for Who's Got Talent. And we need you to submit your auditions out there. If you have any type of talent, You could be 12 years old. You could be 95 years old. It doesn't matter to us. If you're a comedian or a dancer or a singer, you know, we want you to submit those entries because you are going to be our entertainment. The top five will be the entertainment for the gala, and you can win $1,000. And those entries have to be in by October 27th at 11:59.
And Larry, let me tell everybody that the talent is amazing. And a couple of years ago, I mean, there's a lot of young people, but a couple of years ago, a really great local singer, Karen Bradshaw, won the competition. And Karen is, she's younger than me, but, you know, I would say she's a mature person compared to some of the others. And, man, she killed it. And also, let's talk to last year's winner, Annabelle McLean. She also joins us on WWL. Annabelle, welcome to our show.
Hello. Thank you so much for having us. Thank you.
Yeah. Talk about the experience.
Well, it was unlike anything I've ever done. I've never done a pageant, and it truly felt like a pageant as well as a gala. So it did feel very almost regal in that sense. And I got to wear a beautiful dress and did my hair and makeup and nails. So it was quite an experience.
Yeah, and look, the talent on that stage is varied. I mean, there have been comedians, there have been country singers, there have been pop singers, there have been all kinds of a very, very diverse group of people hit that stage with all different kinds of talent. So if anybody has any talent, you can just look up Kelly Kicking Cancer. It's Who's Got Talent, and get your video in by October the 27th, right, Larry?
That is correct, yes.
Yeah, and it's all for a very worthwhile cause.
And yeah,
Annabelle, exactly. You want to win that $1,000, so.
Yeah, $1,000. Oh, yeah. And what did you do? What did you do with the money, Annabelle?
Oh, it went straight to all the bills.
Oh,
and car payments.
You know, but at least you had money to pay the bills. But, you know, yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I was honored to be selected and honored to be a part of the event. It's such a great community-building event.
And a quick $1,000 and a great crowd. And, you know, actually, I get to dress up and people are dressed up. And it is truly a gala. It's going to be at the Covington Country Club, November 16th. And, Larry, where can people find out about tickets?
Yes, please go to kellykickingcancer.org. It's easy. There's information on there on how to submit your entry about October 27th. And again, tickets are on sale on there for the November 16th gala. There's going to be great food. The top cats are the entertainment, but the real entertainment is going to be those five finalists that Scoot is going to have the hard task to crown that $1,000 winner. So we cannot wait for that. We are so grateful for Scoot and what he does for the community.
Well, I'm happy to do it. All right, Larry, thank you, and Annabelle, thank you, and congratulations again for winning last year. And again, the website is kellykickingcancer.org. That's where you can get information if you or if somebody in your family has a talent and you want them to put their talent on display. It's a great opportunity to get your talent out there. The entries need to be in by October the 27th and get the information from the website. Thanks, guys, for being with us. I'm Scoot, and we're going to come back with more of your comments. This sort of describes the way a lot of people were feeling halfway through the third quarter last night at the Saints-Broncos game. Yeah, it was a better life for everybody after the third quarter really got underway, and a lot of people did leave. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back on WWL. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, today we wish a happy birthday to Wynton Marsalis, jazz trumpeter, composer, and teacher. 63 years old today. He won the 1997 Pulitzer Prize for Music for Blood on the Fields, which was a jazz-oriented story that tells the story of a couple finding freedom from slavery. So Wynton Marsalis, 63 years old today, and just part of one of the great first families of music here in the New Orleans area. All right, we still have a lot to go in the next hour. If you're on hold, hang on. I know we've had a really busy show, and I haven't been able to get to a lot of things. We will talk about Angel Reese saying that her salary doesn't cover her rent, and we'll fact-check Donald Trump, if you don't mind. We'll be back on WWL.
I'm Jean Marie Laskus. I'm a journalist. I spent my career helping Americans understand the lives of other Americans. Coal miners, gun shop clerks, staffers in the White House mailroom. In my new podcast, Cement City, I tell the story of an entire town, a dying town that you have absolutely no reason to care about. But trust me, you will.
Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, how could you not have fun in this city? Look at this beautiful, beautiful weather. Great, great day, even though the Saints lost. And if you're just tuning in, we talked about that earlier. And again, I posted what it looked like leaving the game last night with 7 minutes left in the third quarter. And I was out on Poitras. I had just left the dome. And I'd had enough. And I wasn't alone. Alvin Kamara, after the game, said he'd never seen the dome so empty in the fourth quarter. And man, this is a big moment for the Saints organization. You know, when fans become this deeply disenchanted, that is a problem. We still love our Saints, but, and there's the but there that needs to be addressed. We love the Saints, but, and you can fill in the blank from there. And you can check it out. It's on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page. And I hope you'll join me there and comment on what we post and comment on some of the comments. That's when it gets to be kind of fun. But it's on Scoot on the Air Facebook. And there were a lot of people leaving the dome. It was even traffic. It wasn't backed up. It was moving, but it wasn't. It was moving kind of slowly heading out to West End. That's how many people had left. If you're on hold, just hang on. I promise we're going to get to your calls. We just found out that we got a call from someone who said that there is traffic on the North Shore because people are getting out and voting. Early voting begins today. And so many people are getting out and voting that there are some areas where there's kind of a traffic jam or a buildup on areas of the North Shore. That's a report that we just received. So who are these people voting for? Well, we don't know yet, but we know that Donald Trump has gone out of his way to tell people not to vote early. I think he tried to change some of that. But anyway, we've got a lot to get to this hour, so we'll try to get to all of it. But first, I want to let you know about something that's going on with RTA, the Regional Transit Authority. They're trying to make it easier for people to vote, and everybody should be able to vote. Not everybody has transportation. So to make it easier to vote, RTA has got plans in effect. And Lana Edwards Hankins joins us on WWL. Lana, welcome to our show.
Hey, Scoop. My name is Lona Edwards Hankins. How are you today?
Lona, I'm sorry, Lona. Okay, Lona, listen, tell us. I'm excited about what RTA is doing. So tell us about that.
So we are making it easier for our riders in our community to vote by waiving fares on the two Saturdays of early voting, so tomorrow, October 19th and October 26th, as well as on Election Day. So what this means is we're suspending all fares so people can just hop on the bus without showing proof of anything.
That's really huge. I mean, I'm writing these notes down in case somebody asks about it later. So the two Saturdays of early voting and Election Day, and the first Saturday of early voting is tomorrow, suspending all fares on RTA. So nobody has to prove anything. You can just provide any information. You just get on a bus and go.
Yes, this is, an initiative by our board and our agency, because we know that about 20% of New Orleans households don't have access to a car. And mm-hmm. So, you know, what a better way to do our civic duty by allowing them to removing that barrier for them to get to the polls.
You know, I sometimes when I'm at a red light, I'll see people at a bus stop, and I'm fortunate to have had a car. I'm fortunate to really have always had a car. And I think about these people, and I'm surprised that the number is as high as it is. 20% of New Orleans households don't have access to a car. But I think about the people who do take the bus. And I think about, you know, how dedicated they are in their lives to take the bus to work, to take the bus to where they're going. Some people take it because it's just a good mode of transportation. But some people use the bus because they have to. And I just have such admiration for people who take the bus. And I think it's great that RTA is doing this for the citizens of New Orleans.
Absolutely. You know, there's a diverse number of reasons why people take the bus. And we want to make sure that we are efficient and reliable for all of our riders, regardless if they're transit dependent or if it's, you know, a choice rider or a young person deciding I don't want to pay a car note because it costs like, you know, $15,000 to own a car in the city of New Orleans every year, whereas it only costs, you know, $700 to buy a bus pass.
Yeah. Now, does this include the streetcars?
Streetcar modes, all modes, streetcars, the ferries, paratransit. Yep. We're going to be free for all modes on these 3 days.
Okay, now wait a minute. So somebody isn't really going to go vote. They decide that they want to take the ferry. Can they do that?
Yeah, Scoop.
Well, I'm being honest. Not everybody's honest. They might not be going to vote, but they could. So tomorrow, Saturday, and then the next Saturday of early voting and election day, you can use all of these modes of transportation, including the ferry, absolutely free.
Yes, and so while we recognize there may be some riders who may be taking care of business that day or just, you know, it's a beautiful day, so I'm going to ride the streetcar. We hope that they ride the streetcar to vote, but it's also the most efficient way to implement this for our operators, right? Don't want, you see what I'm saying? It's either all or nothing, and that allows for efficient operations.
No, it's a great idea. And, you know, I have often talked about the ferry on my show, and I have occasionally done this. It's almost like it's part of sightseeing in New Orleans. And a lot of people who live here don't even think about it. But, you know, if you went to another city and you had a chance to take a ferry across a major river when, you know, it's really cool when a major ship is going by when you're on the ferry and you get a perfect view of the city of New Orleans when you're on the West Bank. And, you know, there are a few places on the West Bank as well at Algiers Point. But taking the ferry is just a fun thing to do with your kids.
It is. I was just sharing with someone about public transit being a staycation my mother did with us during the summers when we were growing up in New Orleans. You catch the streetcar, go downtown, grab a po' boy, eat half the po' boy there, and then go to the ferries and then catch the Magazine Street bus. But, you know, I think public transportation, if we can get it right, is a huge solution to all of New Orleans' challenges and our region's challenges. Yeah. It's an economic mobility tool, an economic development tool, an educational tool, all the things, lowering emissions and congestions.
I'm going to mention this next week to remind people that next Saturday, and then I'll certainly talk about this election day. I'm going to keep this information with me, and I'll remind people that they can take the bus, the streetcar, the ferry. It's designed to get people to go vote, to give them free transportation to go vote. But, you know, anybody can just jump on any RTA mode of transportation absolutely free. Tomorrow, October 19th, then October 26th, and then Election Day, November 5th. So it's Lona, right?
Lona, thank you. Yes.
Okay.
Just like Mona, it's one of those unusual names.
That's okay. I'm sure you're a unique person. Lona Edwards Hankins, thanks for being with us. And this is just a great offer from RTA, and the city thanks you.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Sure. Thank you. All right. Let's get to a couple of calls. Let's go to Bobby in Bay St. Louis. Bobby, thanks for hanging on. You're on WWL.
Hey, Scoot. How you doing, buddy?
Good.
Look, I've been listening. I'm born and raised in New Orleans. I've been listening to you. I listened to you back in the day in B97. Listen to it all the time. I moved to Bay St. Louis in 2001, born and raised in New Orleans. You know, I got a couple comments I wanted to make. First time I've ever gotten through. You know, when you look at the Saints, you got, and look, I know Gail Benson inherited a team. She was married to Tom Benson. Nicky Loomis has been there for 22 years as a general manager. A general manager, you're a manager of something, right? That means you oversee the team.
Right.
So, in my opinion, the Saints need a fresh start from the top down. That means from the general manager down to the head coach. Okay, Dennis Allen was the head coach at the Raiders, losing record. They hired Dennis Allen. Okay. Got rid of Steve Spagnuolo, went to the Chiefs. Look what Steve Spagnuolo has done with the Chiefs. Three Super Bowls.
You know, get a quarterback. Yeah, I hate when I see these coaches leave the Saints and they go somewhere else and they kick butt. I mean, Steve Spagnuolo, you know, yeah, we get rid of him as defensive coordinator. Look what he's doing with the Chiefs.
Exactly. And look, you get a quarterback you pay a ton of money for without a winning record. Now, what you do is you back him up with two rookie quarterbacks who've never played an NFL game in their life. Bad decisions all the way around. Look, I remember in my dad's bar room there in Gentilly, we couldn't get the Saints on TV back in the day. I never wore a bag over my head. My dad, my brother, Gary West, who's a sports writer from Fort Worth, Texas, they went to the first Saints game, just like you. They had season tickets to Tulane Stadium and Superdome, okay? And, you know, it's a crying shame when you watch this team after the 2-0 start. Now, I know the injuries have plagued them and everything else, you know, but it's just sad. I think the Saints need a change. You know, Mickey Loomis is executive vice president of the team and the general manager. I understand that. I know he's probably not going to go anywhere. But to hire Derek Allen, I thought, was a mistake. Okay? I mean, it is what
well,
it is.
I know. I didn't understand it. I didn't understand it either. But I will tell you this. It's real simple. Dennis Allen was the easy, more affordable hire.
Exactly. And it was just, in my opinion, it was the wrong pick. Another comment I wanted to make was on Trump. I think Trump is despicable. You know, when you sit there, and what got me years ago is when he started talking about the senator, McCain, who yeah. spent years in the Hamilton Hilton being tortured yeah. and putting this man down. And what I'm glad to see is Dick Cheney's daughter supporting Kamala Harris, all these other Republicans coming out and supporting Kamala Harris, and also all these generals.
I think
advisors.
Dick Cheney is, too. I think Dick Cheney's voting for Harris, too.
Well, I don't blame him. And look, it's a damn shame that this country, like you said, and I listen to you all the time, but listen to you for years. It's the first time I've ever gotten through. But it's a damn shame, you know, when you got, you know, me and my girlfriend were out in Bay St. Louis one day downtown, and we were seeing a bunch of guys with the Trump flag up, and I just, you know, did my hands up like this, and they said, y'all get out the truck. I mean, really? You wanted
really?
To get out of the truck so what? Yeah, so you can hurt us or something? So, anyway, the discord in this country is so bad that I agree with you. I mean, you know, these people, I don't know if they're hypnotized. I don't get it. What don't you see? Don't you see what's went on with Trump? I mean, what happened January 6th? What's been going
on
with
minute.
Trump?
And the latest thing is he's promoting that as a day of love. Love is the farthest thing from what that day was. And anybody who's voting for Trump or whatever, there's no way anybody can spin that as a day of love.
Right. And, you know, it's like I said, it's sad. And I just, you know, my brother and I also have been lifelong Republicans. And I voted Democrat, too, and Republican. And it's just the day. And my brother's a very, you know, intelligent person. He's an English professor. You know, he's a sports writer. He's a president of North American Thoroughbred Association. And he can't stand Trump. And I know a lot of people that can't. But and this guy just lies all the time. And I don't
he just has
these people brainwashed. These. I mean, I don't get it.
I don't get it either. We're going to fact check him in a minute with just another really incredible lie in an attempt to promote his policies. Bobby, I appreciate the call. You know, I've actually thought about moving to Bay St. Louis. I mean, I have a car that I love to drive and I love being in it. And Bay St. Louis is just a really charming place. So I don't know. I may pack up one day and move. But I appreciate the call, Bobby. Thanks for being with us. If you're on hold, stay with us. It's Free for All Friday. If you want to join us, the Okanar Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. All right, coming up, we're going to fact check Donald Trump on something a lie that he's using to promote his policy. Why would he lie to promote his policy? It is a beautiful Friday afternoon. It's going to be a great weekend. Find a way to get out and enjoy it and escape the tensions of the Saints and the campaign and everything else. I'm Scoot. We'll be right back on WWL. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, man, a bizarre thing happened on this day in 1974. This is an Al Green song, Let's Stay Together. A stewardess friend, they're now flight attendants, but in 74 they were called stewardesses. What was that flight attendant? A flight attendant friend of Al Green's showed up to meet the singer. She ends up with him at his Memphis home. His companion, Mary Woodson, was already there. Mary Woodson was obsessed with Al Green. Al Green goes to the bathroom to brush his teeth. And this woman, Mary Woodson, pours a pot of boiling grits on him, burning him. I mean, he needed skin grafts, burned him badly. Then she goes in the next room and kills herself with his gun. Now, he was cleared of any wrongdoing in her death. But he took these things that happened as a sign from God, and he changed his career and focused on gospel music and preaching. But man, what a bizarre story happened on this day in 1974. I'm Scoot on the Air. It is Free for All Friday. And before we get back to calls, I've been trying to get to this all day, and we've just had a busy day. So Donald Trump says, he said this during that that interview with the economic summit interview in Chicago. Former President Donald Trump said that his talk about imposing tariffs on any machinery, cars, vehicles coming into this country caused John Deere, the farm manufacturing equipment stuff, it caused John Deere to change their plans about going to Mexico. So Trump says, are you ready? John Deere, great company. They announced about a year ago they're going to build big plants outside of the United States, right? They're going to build them in Mexico. He said, if John Deere builds those plants, they're not selling anything in the United States. And Donald Trump was talking about a 200% tariff on John Deere equipment coming into the United States. And Donald Trump says they just announced yesterday that they're probably not going to build those plants. He said, I keep jobs here. It is a total effing lie. John Deere told the Wall Street Journal that they have not abandoned their plans to move some production to Mexico, and that Donald Trump is wrong in his claim that he persuaded the company to reconsider. John Deere said after the Trump interview that it didn't make any announcements about canceling plans to build farm equipment, tractors, and some construction equipment in Mexico. He said John Deere said they haven't changed their plans at all. Now, Kamala Harris lies too. She's lied about statistics. But Kamala Harris doesn't tell lies like this. And this was immediately fact-checked. Donald Trump is attacking John Deere, this American manufacturer. And they're planning to go to Mexico, which, by the way, provides jobs for Mexicans. And maybe some of those Mexicans are not going to try to come across the border because they got a job at John Deere in Mexico. So when our businesses go to Mexico, it might keep some people from wanting to come to the United States. So anyway, Donald Trump is promoting his policy of how good the tariffs are by saying John Deere changed their plans. They didn't change their plans. They didn't change their plans at all, and they're still considering going to Mexico. And I'll tell you this, this tariff threat from Donald Trump, if you want to buy a car that is imported, I just bought a car that's from Japan. I'm glad I bought that car from Japan now. You want a car from another country? You better buy it now, because if Trump wins, that car is going to cost a hell of a lot more. If this even goes through. I mean, Donald Trump said yesterday that his favorite word in the English language is tariff, or in the dictionary, whatever, is tariffs. And while we shouldn't let other countries take advantage of us, think about the American jobs that deal with selling imports. Think about the American jobs and the American businesses that sell imported products. Those American jobs, those Americans would be greatly impacted if Donald Trump went through with severe tariffs of 100 to 200%. So I just want to set the record straight on this. This whole thing about John Deere, he's lying. And if you're a Trump supporter, he must think you're stupid. He must think you're stupid. Because John Deere immediately said, not true. Let's go to Jimmy and Gretna. Hey, Jimmy, what do you got?
Hey, Scoot, what's going on, man? Hey, look, congratulations to Drew Brees. I know the game was a disappointment, but probably the greatest player in Saints history, probably never will be matched. So congratulations to him. You know, my prayers to Jakey Lee. I don't know if you talked about this week, but the former Ozzy Osbourne guitarist, Jakey Lee, was shot in Vegas walking his dog about a few days ago.
Oh, wow.
He's stable, but he did get shot, Jakey Lee. He was,
sad.
You know, that famous song, Bark at the Moon, that was him on guitar.
Wow.
Me too. I'm a big fan of his. He was the one who was telling Ozzy to put the bottle down and stop the drugs, and soon thereafter he got the pink slip, if you know what I mean. So that was that, but very talented. And look, you know I'm a big fan of the band Rad. Anybody who knows Jimmy knows I'm a big fan of the band Rad.
Yep.
When Spencer Rattler got drafted, Scoot, I was like, I got to get a Spencer Rattler jersey and block out the last three letters. And, you know, I'm in the works for that. I think Spencer Rattler has a bright future. I know that these two games this week, he struggled with the offensive line and the injuries have mounted, it's been the week of the rat for me, seeing Rattler play, and I want to parlay that into tomorrow night in Biloxi. If you are a fan of the band Rat, Stephen Piercy of Rat is playing at the IP Casino with the band Vixen. So, cool. Yeah, if you are a fan of Rat, Stephen Piercy is going to be in Biloxi tomorrow night. There's also an AC/DC tribute band tomorrow night at House of Blues. And I think the Kenner Food Truck Festival is this Sunday, too. It's a one-day event, but, some cool events. But, yeah, the week of the Rat hasn't started out that great with Spencer Rattler. But, again, I believe in that kid. I think he's got a good upside. I think Derek Carr will be back shortly. But, yeah, Stephen Piercy. I don't know, Scoot, have you ever seen the band Rat live?
Oh, yeah, I have. I saw Rat when they were opening up. I forget who they opened up for, but it was at the Gulf Coast
Maybe for
Coliseum.
Billy Squire. I know Bon Jovi
that was
opened
it. It
for
was
Rat
for,
back
it was
in the
for
day.
Billy, it was for Billy Squire. No, when I saw Billy Bon Jovi at the Coliseum on the Gulf Coast, when Bon Jovi was, you know, really, really, really getting hot, Cinderella opened up for him. But, it was Rat and Billy Squire.
Hey, that's awesome. Look, and if you're looking for, you said you like driving to the coast, come on out. Come see Stephen Piercy or Rat tomorrow night at the casino in Biloxi. We're going
to
be there.
All right, Jerry. I appreciate the information. Let's go to Rich in Lakeview. Hey, Rich, welcome to the show.
Hey, Scoot, thanks for taking my call. We heard Mr. Kuvion talking about people aren't enthusiastic about this election. Get enthusiastic. Like Bob, who called earlier, I'm also a retired military officer. I was an F-18 pilot. I flew 106 missions and two conflicts, a bunch of deployments. That was, you know, I accomplished my mission. But now we all have a mission. If you can see what I see, if you know what I know, this is not a Republican or a Democrat thing, man. This is an American thing. And this guy is not fit to lead our country. He's a felon. He's been convicted of sexual assault. He's friends with pedophiles, one of them who's not with us anymore, but Maxwell and Epstein.
Yeah, I don't know how close of friends they were. I know their pictures of them together, but, you know, let's speculate on what we know for sure.
Well, we know for sure he was surrounded by felons. Manafort, Stone, Bannon,
oh, yeah,
Glenn,
yeah.
Cohen.
By their own admission.
The Trump unit. Trump, disbanded because of fraud. Trump Foundation disbanded because of fraud. Trump Organization, CFO, goes to prison twice. I mean, this guy is an awful human being. How many of his former cabinet members are endorsing
countless.
Him? Something like four out of more than 40?
Oh, countless, yeah. There's far too many, and as I have mentioned, you know, he bragged about, I only hire the best people. Well, the best people turned out to be people who wouldn't just go along with what he said, so he fired him, and he fired him just because he wouldn't go along with, they wouldn't go along with what he said. Rich, I just got a text on my private phone, and it's from Coop Drive, a line for early voting now in Mandeville. So apparently people are taking this seriously, and especially on the North Shore, a lot of people are voting early. And we don't know whether it's Trump supporters or Harris supporters, but yeah, people need to vote. And I hope we set a record with the number of voters this election day. I've got to get to a break, Rich. I do appreciate the call. If you're on hold, hang on. We're coming right back with more. And just we'll make a comment about Angel Reese. The Bayou Barbie says her salary doesn't cover her rent. We'll get into that when we come back. All right, it's the Halloween season. Crew of Brew. Crew of Boo is tomorrow night, man. That is fun. Get out and enjoy it and look for Halloween activities all over. Now, some people believe that if Kamala Harris wins, it's going to be, you know, 4 years of the witch. But that's their opinion. I'm Scoot on the air. We'll be right back on WWL. Beautiful Friday afternoon, but when the sun sets, this is going to turn into Friday night. All right, the Bayou Barbie, Angel Reese, is saying that her salary doesn't cover her rent. The rookie salary in the WNBA is $73,439. Now, that's not a lot of money. I mean, look, it's a lot of money for a lot of you, I know. But it's not a lot of money for a professional athlete like that. The point is, the WNBA doesn't draw what the NBA draws. And it's based on overall generated revenue. Now, I'm not an expert in this particular area, but Angel Reese is destined to make a lot more. Plus, Angel Reese had an NIL deal for $1.8 million before she was even drafted. So Angel Reese is a millionaire. So her salary doesn't cover her rent. Don't think she's like, you know, scrimping for money, because she has money and she's going to make even more. She is injured, but she, I think, has a net worth of about $2 million. And Angel Reese is blessed because she has the looks, she has the personality, she has that intangible that makes her a superstar. And she will be a superstar, and she will do great in life. Maybe she was just trying to make the point that the WNBA players are not paid as much as they should be. And, you know, that's a legitimate topic for another show. Hey, I want to say just a real thank you to everybody who said hi, all of the listeners that I met at the VIP tailgate party from the Bullseye Event Group at the Benson Tower yesterday. Thank you, guys. I appreciated meeting all of you. And when I meet all of you, and I met some people at the game as well, it was great to meet all of you. And when I meet you, I put a face with the audience, and I'm envisioning all of you this afternoon as I'm doing the show. So thanks for being so dedicated to the show. I appreciate it. Let's go to Paul in Michigan. Paul's in Michigan. Hey, Paul, welcome to the show.
Hey, Scoot. Yeah. Billy Nunn guests are 2028. If anybody remembers back 14 years ago when Deepwater Horizon disaster happened, and the way he stood up for Plaquemines Parish and stood up against the things the feds were telling them not to do. One of them was they wanted him to stay away from the scene. And I remember the video of him down there sticking his finger in a clump of black oil.
He's a gutsy guy.
I'm touching it. Why don't you come touching it. Why don't you come arrest me?
Yeah.
He's the kind of man we need running for office. And I brought this up to you before. We need more people voting in primaries so we get more intelligent, qualified people for the positions and less of the party extremists. Yeah.
Well, you've got a busy day in Michigan because both Trump and Harris are both in Michigan. They're in the same county in Michigan today. Can you imagine the traffic jams there?
I'm on the other side of the state. I live in the Great North Woods above what we call the tension line. So they don't come here for us too often. And
Paul, I see these commercials. I see these commercials every spring, and it's promoting spending your vacation in Michigan. And, you know, I would have never thought to spend my vacation in Michigan, but these commercials make Michigan look like really beautiful and like there's a lot to do there.
There is. Lake Michigan. I live on the other side. I live right on Lake Michigan, and it's a beautiful state. There's a lot of wilderness here, great hunting, great fishing. We have our own style of offshore fishing. It's freshwater. With very large fish in Lake Michigan to catch.
What do you catch? What's a big fish you catch in Lake Michigan?
King salmon, 30-pound king salmon's king, not uncommon.
Really? Wow.
They brought them in to take care of an invasive species, and it's become a commercial fishing and recreational fishing industry.
Does a king salmon, when you get it on the line, does it put up a fight?
Yeah, and it likes to throw the hook, so it's quite the battle to get it on board.
Oh, cool.
It takes a little bit of skill, and a good guide can bring you home a lot of fish.
Sounds fun. All right, yeah. Paul, I appreciate the call, and have a great weekend. We got to get to a break here and come back and wrap up the show. There's a lot of stuff going on the Scoot on your Facebook page. I hope you will join me there and become part of that. Comment on what we comment on, and it's really fun when you comment on the comments. But look, let's just take a moment once again to just enjoy this really incredible weather that we're having. What a great, great Friday afternoon. Some interesting comments on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page to the video that I posted last night, leaving with 7 minutes left in the third quarter. I was not alone, and a lot of people have checked into that. All right, Fans and the Pro coming up next with Mike Haas and Deuce McAllister. I want to thank our program director and brand manager, Diane Newman, assistant program director and brand manager, and senior producer of Scoot on the Air, Ian Hoke, market manager Dan Barron, news anchor Chris Miller, and traffic with Joe Cardosi. LSU plays Arkansas. LSU, I think, wins big over Arkansas. Tulane plays Rice at Yeoman Stadium at 2:30 tomorrow afternoon. I think Tulane's on a roll. I think they destroy Rice. Have a great weekend. I'm Scoot. Love you, New Orleans.
I'm Jean Marie Laskus. I'm a journalist. I spent my career helping Americans understand the lives of other Americans. Coal miners, gun shop clerks, staffers in the White House mailroom. In my new podcast, Cement City, I tell the story of an entire town. A dying town that you have absolutely no reason to care about. But trust me, you will. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.